Blog Talk Radio.
Ship ahoy, ship ahoy, ship ahoy, ship ahoy now.
Grand Rising, Grand Rising, Grand Rising here. Welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced Grand Rising with Shabaka this Friday morning. And I believe our date is August 15th, 2023. Am I correct on the date, Brother Che?
18th.
Okay, I stand corrected. August 18th, 2023. This is Grand Rising. We're talking about the current events of the day. Feel free to give us a call at 516-418-5996. We appreciate all positive comments. We appreciate your insults. We appreciate your hateration as well, too. And the reason why we are having this attitude is because with this current political favor, or fervor, I should say, that's going on, is because we damn sure as black people are not going to get any political favors. That's for damn sure. Okay, the dump, you know, he's getting indicted on additional charges, okay, and I say the dump as in human shit, and I want to be perfectly clear about that. Yes, sir.
91 charges.
I'm sorry?
91 charges.
Oh, he's got 91 charges? Okay, well, that's beautiful. Okay, all right, and hopefully that SOB will get convicted on all 91 charges, you know. So what it is, people, is that when you talk about your U.S. Constitution, with it being the greatest document on earth and what have you, your boy, the dump, as in human shit, okay, is making a mockery out of it. He does not believe in it himself. You know, and for all practical purposes, ladies and gentlemen, you know, why should we sit up there and sympathize with this dude, just like the same thing with the panties in Florida? So to quote Brother Jay, it is racist white supremacy at an all-time high, and Dr. Claude Anderson had predicted over 10 years ago that we will have this fervor come across the nation. And then, of course, what they're going to use against us is these immigrants coming in, okay? It's because everybody else comes here for the American dream. But we came here with the American nightmare, to quote Malcolm X, as he had stated in his autobiography of Malcolm X. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just letting you know Lady Che's about to call her.
Oh, okay. All righty. That's good, Lady Che. You know, she's sounding better and she's coming along. That's real good. Also, too, Lady Che will be running for city council in the city of Aurora, Colorado, and what have you. Also, too, Colorado is a sundown state. A lot of sundown cities there in Colorado. A lot of sundown cities in the great state of California. And then, Brother Che. Okay. And
can you
then
hear me?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Hey, Shabaka, well, first, let me tell the people, welcome to Grand Rising with Shabaka, Lady Che right here. Hey, guess what, Shabaka? I was over there,
yeah.
I went over to see Jeff Fart yesterday, right? And, that's what we call him, is Jeff Fart. But, you know, we refer to him as Jeff Fart. Oh, cool ass nigga. Check this out, right? So I go over there, and I'm over there running errands. The first time I've been out the house in a minute because I've been really sick. several errands, take care of my business. I stop by just as godparents, barbershop and whatnot, busy with the family a little bit, find out some news, felt a little disheartened, a little sad in my heart. Came back out, went across the street over to Jeff Farr's Cultural Center. And he got some motherfucking, one of his cousins in there talking about politics and whatnot. I'm like, I just felt like busting up the shit. But I go in there like a lady, right? So he's used he's used to the negatives about me, like, you know, and when I'm in my gang, he refers to me as a gangbanger, like a gang member. Because I like to occasionally, I get upset and y'all have throw out words like cuz and whatever when I'm just flabbergasted, right? About a certain scenario. But I decided that when I go in there, I'm just going to act like, you know, with decorum and act like a lady, you know? Just do the opposite of what he thinks. So I'm waiting.
Right.
And I go into the building, and he's doing a show. The two people already mugged me. Give me dirty looks.
Mm.
Then a few minutes later, like half hour later, this broad that I like to call her, her name's Shay J, right? But it's assistant. But she used to run this show called Seven Generations. What is it, Seven Generations what?
Yeah, Seven Generations Black.
Seven Generations Black, but me and Jesse called it Seven Generations Coons. Seven Generations Coons.
Okay.
Right? So they was always on some cool shit when Jesse was running for campaign. And I didn't like the way the sister talked. I felt like the sister's voice is like very raspy, very annoying to me. And the shit that come out the sister's mouth is like even worse. I feel like as far as a black woman, you should want to think about all things black. You know what I mean? And that's what we like to think about. So when the sister is like all inclusive, to me that's not being a sister. That's you just inclusive, and I don't like that shit. So I just don't like this bro. So she come in, they all start clapping, right? And I'm sitting in there, so he has yet to acknowledge me. I've been in there for like 45 minutes. So they start clapping, then they switch spots, and the sister comes sit next to Jeff Hart. She just showed up. She didn't have a planned dialogue or nothing like that, but she acted like she did. And Jesse's in the chat, and he's like, Lady Che, right? So everybody know that is the Jesse Paris, a.k.a. is Che Nkrumah, right? So by all means, you would call me Lady Che Nkrumah, right?
Uh-huh.
So he's like making all kinds of these little side comments, knowing goddamn well that's not how you even say his name. And you know better. You know who Che Nkrumah is. So stop playing around. And you know that, you know, you refer to me, if Jesse's referring to me as Lady Che, then that's what it is. It's obviously his old lady, you know what I mean? Che Nkrumah, right? I'm just like, so he's not calling me the seduction doll or whatever. But it's like, it's fine. So I'm watching him disrespect me a little bit. When she sat down, he made this gang member comment. Right, obviously a reference to me. And I sat there, smiled, and took it like a G, right? So then he says a little later that now, look, it's public knowledge that I filed the paperwork to run for city council. But I haven't been showing out, and I haven't been making, like, I haven't intentionally got out no articles or nothing like that. When Jesse ran for campaign, we started off the first 6 months under the radar passing out flyers on the street, just us by ourselves in our hands. Our flyers touched only black hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I was running the same way we did Jesse's campaign and the same way I did mine. Just under the radar, I was building my shit up like the last month before Jesse's campaign, before the election. So I started building up all my, like, my little team for the signatures, started building up things because it was really hard with Jesse's campaign. And I was mad. I was mad because the way they did them. So I couldn't understand this whole time why Jesse felt so fucking upset when Jeff Barr had disacknowledged him and was acting stupid with him, right? Until it happened to me, right? So then I had the thorough understanding why Jesse's feelings were, like, why he felt not necessarily hurt, but disappointed in our community, right? Because we both are from the same community, right? I'm from I'm from Curtis Park, just from the east side, right? With the same situation, but I'm part of the community, members of the community. People know who we are, right? But this motherfucker want to act like we don't exist. Everybody knows Jesse Paris's name, and everybody knows me on the street as whatever. Right. But I didn't have the level of clout Jesse had politically that he earned, right? So I just am from the street. So I was watching this shit happen in front of me. When he disacknowledged me, I'm not going to lie, my feelings kind of felt like how Jesse did, except I was hungry and I was, like, emotional. So I'm a girl, so tears came out of my eyes, right? I'm a girl. So I was like, this motherfucker right here, he think he could just humiliate anybody whenever the fuck he wants to. And he could just pave the way, like I was saying in Jesse's campaign. Like, me and Jesse sat back and listened to one of the broadcasts, and it was clear now that we didn't see it because we were too focused on the campaign. But when you take yourself out of it, you listen to the interviews that that motherfucker did with Jesse, he was plotting on Jesse's demise from the get. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
He was hating on Jesse's fucking campaign from the get, and he turned the whole fucking community, which we said, you know, initially, like later on, we listened to it this morning, literally turned the whole fucking black community, whatever was left, around against Jesse Paris. Right?
Well,
and so he
technically
wanted to do that this time.
Okay, if I may say, let me say, to prove your point even further.
DeMarc, I got to interject real quick. So, he kept saying,
Brother Jay, you're getting feedback, sir.
Okay, that's my fault. I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead, Brother Paris.
what I was saying was, he was plotting, like Lay Chay just said, he was plotting on our downfall from the get, right? So the first time I went on his show, I really had to threaten him, like, threaten to expose the fake or fraud and phony he is, right?
Okay.
Like that. So he was like, okay, I got a spot on this day. You want to come in? And that's when I first announced, like, that same week, other candidates, the nemesis had announced that he was going to run for mayor, but I had announced before him and everybody else. I was the first one to announce. I announced at the end of 2019, after the city council race, the city council at large race I ran, where I got $15,000 no money.
Yeah,
I'm thinking encore or even better, running for mayor. Back then, I was like, okay,
right.
For the jabs, for the COVID shit. So I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm already. There was another candidate, Arthur Barrett. He called himself trying to run for mayor. He actually announced before me. He had postcards.
Right.
I guess he would consider indigenous dude. One of those, like, passing ones. He had postcards. I was like, oh, you're going to run? I'm like, oh, shit, I'm running for mayor. What are you talking about? I'm running for mayor. You got postcards.
Right.
I'm running for mayor. So every city council meeting, because everybody know, like Lady Chase said, everybody know, I've been on city council devotedly for the past 7 years.
Brother Che, you're very, very active, you know, with the political structure there in Denver, Colorado. Nobody could take that there away from you, you know what I mean? And then the sad part. And the sad part about it is,
we remind him of what he used to be for the community. Now Jeff is for donation.
Uh-huh. Okay. So what it is that Mr. Fayard or Jeff Fart.
As far as my run, like I was a whole lady last night after they disrespected me and didn't even talk to me after the end of the show. So for like 30 more minutes, I watched these two motherfuckers just bullshit about nothing. And so I walked up and I was like, interrupted their whole shit. And was like, you said reach in if you wanted to make an appointment. I came to make an appointment. Here's this as it comes out for next week. I got in my, I have a little tone in my voice. And
right.
He said, give me the phone number. I gave him the phone number and I walked out casually to the point where old girl was standing there like, she's standing there looking at me like, who is this? Is the audacity interrupt? And I was like, look here, bitch. In my mind, this is what I was thinking. I'm like, look here, bitch. I don't give a fuck about your fucking coonstress ways. I was like, I came in here to do something. And it was on a test premise where me and Jesse, we secretly know. We should never count on him to be of the community. But we consistently give this motherfucker the chance to show us something different. And I came when I finally got back in here because Jesse, there was a lot of moving and stuff around, whatever. But by the time I got in here, I was so fucking beside myself that I was like, never in my motherfucking life would I ever, if I had a platform like his or whatever, first of all, it would never be mixed. I would never have a mixed platform. It would just be strictly black people. You know what I mean? I would never have especially when I command the thoughts of the people, and I would never call it the free think zone. But really, I command the thoughts, right? And I would never. Mm-hmm. He's been talking. You don't like look when we're saying black first, black this, black everything, because it's a new day and age, right?
Right.
Yesterday I heard the audacious statement. It was like, we like Democrats here. Bitch, aren't you paying attention, cuz? Aren't you paying attention that the Democrats have fallen off? They're not getting the vote.
And then to prove your point even more so, Lady Che, is that off of research that I've done is that the Democratic Party is definitely losing its touch, quote unquote, with mainstream black Americans, because like I said, with me being in my twilight years, you know, for the last 50 years, it's the same damn script that they run that I know of since about 1972. This all-inclusive of shit, you know, the inclusion. The illusion of inclusion. Yes,
like the chairman in Alabama that we talked about, the chairman Sekou, the general, my revolutionary father, he said the face changed, but the game remains the same. So they're going to keep the capitalism structure going just under a black face.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. You know what I'm saying? And definitely, you know, we want to give a shout out there to Dr. Marvin X out there in Panthertown. It's because he's wrote in a publication called The Black Face of White Supremacy. Okay, so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever get a chance to get that publication, please read it. Okay, because I'm going to read.
We're talking about the political situation for black voters. You look at the CBC, the mother ain't doing nothing specifically for us. And even when you go to their website, nothing pertaining to us. We're always lumped in. And that's why we talk about the malign neglect. And that's what the Democrats and the Republicans or the reptilians have been using for the past 50 years.
Oh, yes, sir. Now, one thing I will say about the Trumplicans is there's always saying
it's belligerent neglect. They purposely abandon us. They purposely ignore us.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. And there's an old saying from South Central L.A., never apologize for how you honestly feel. So when I look at these dumpsters, okay, and I'm talking about the dumpsters as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear, okay, is because they're stating how they honestly feel. And then when you get these black-ass politicians, you know, who are selling us down the tubes, they're endorsing this shit. I mean, look at Tim Scott. I mean, look at Hershey Bar, you know, although he dropped out.
Look at, I watched a program last night about Larry Elder and how much of a fool he is that he can they was talking about how Elders was a brilliant man. I'm like, really? Elders is a major fucking coon. Like,
oh yeah, and in my opinion, to me, as Dr. Khalid Muhammad said about Jesse Jackson on the Phil Donahue show, and I believe about 1995, I think, is that he's one of the best bootlickers, half-baked, half-fried coons as you're going to the utmost of his ability, him and Terrell. And the sad part about it is that these miseducated Negroes go out here, push their miseducation, and acting like they speaking for the rest of us, of which there ain't. We go back and forth with this bullshit with Joe Gibson.
This generation should be out there, like, here in this part of the country, the only black media we got is us, and that's cool.
Yeah, that's sad. You say that's very sad. And then, of course, you know, they do all kind of things to throw monkey wrenches in our works. You say, but however, we know it is what it is. This is why they shadow banned us. This is why, you know, they try to give us low exposure. This is why, you know, they come up to us, y'all violated community standards.
I went on Jeff's show and he was on that bullshit. I instigate your shit. Like, he's not going to support anything that I've done with because it messes up the apple cart. We're upset. We're upset in the apple cart. We're upset in the status quo.
Yeah.
He's an opportunist. The opportunity to present himself, he's going to coon it for that bread. And
oh, yeah.
Cooning. Because right now, cooning is that clout chasing, whatever you want to call it. Like damn actresses and actors in their roles. But that strike is still going too, Shabazz. I think we got Sarge
still
in here.
Going.
We got him Sarge. Because set us up.
Yeah. If that's Sarge on that private number, you know, meet him in, you know, and let Sarge know he went AWOL on us.
Now, see, man, I got a mea culpa for you, and you ain't even prepared to listen to it.
But, Sarge, we had a special edition for you, Sarge, last
I know that. That's why I know that. That's what. I know that. That's why I feel so bad, and I of course owe you an explanation, which of course is perhaps unforgivable, but nonetheless I have one.
Okay, Sarge, what's on your mind, my man?
Well, let me explain. Now you know I'm an aficionado. All right, now you know I'm an aficionado of hog hunting. We go down around Southwest Georgia, around Columbus, you know, about once every 2 months. It just so happened that your call was scheduled during the time we were going to go hog hunting. So me and my three buddies got a little cabin in this one farm that this farmer lets us use. We kill a hog on his property and tear his farm up.
Okay.
And so I said, okay. We can go down there. I'm going to have my phone with me. I'll be able to do the phone. I got your phone number, your show. It's in my phone.
Right.
I can do the phone call down there while we're doing the hogger. Now, my buddies, we were short on a hogger track. It's the sweet corn we put out, and it attracts the hogs. And it doesn't, deer don't like it, but the hogs do. And they come, but we were short on it. So they had to go to the tractor supply house in Forsyth. I said, you go ahead and do it. I got to call into this radio show. And, right. you know, by the time we get back, we'll be ready to go out and do the hog hunting. Man, I could not get a half a bar. I couldn't get a half a bar out there. You know, I have never used a cell phone while I was out there, and it turns out I couldn't. There's no cell phone reception. You got to understand, it is out in the thick.
Okay. All righty. Well, sir, we got
that was it. That's the reason. That's the reason.
Okay, son.
And I made the big mistake. The big mistake I made was not, even though I couldn't have called you to tell you I can't call in, at least I could have called you when I got reception to let you know why I wasn't there, and I had to wait a whole week till I see you back on the show, on air again.
Okay, Sarge. Okay, shit happens. Okay. We understand. Okay. Now,
I have never used I have never used a cell phone while I was out in that area before. I didn't know we couldn't get did have reception.
Okay, Sarge.
So, again, you know, unforeseen circumstance, but now I know better. Won't happen again if there ever is another again. So there it is.
Okay, Sarge. Okay, now let me ask you this here, Sarge.
And by the way, I just want you to know that the Democrat Party is the same Democratic Party was in 1850. It just has a different twist on the way they want to enslave us, so they ain't changed a bit.
You'll get no argument from me to the best of their ability. That's what they do. Yes, you are correct about that, Sarge. But, Sarge, but I got to ask you. Now, you bore the dump, as in human shit, is hit with 91 charges, both at the state level, at the federal level.
Mug in jail. Get mug shots. They're going to print them up and everything.
Yes.
Now, you know, this what look, guys, I'll be real brief with this. You are really disappointing and amazing me as I listen to you do this. As I listen to you cite 91 charges from the government, this proves Donald Trump is guilty of whatever they charge him with. And I want to remind you of Connor and Selbro, what they did to Fred Hampton, what they did to Mark Clark, what they did to Zaire Shakur, what they did to Geronimo Pratt, what they did to Mamaya Abdul-Jabbar, what they did to Marshall Conway, what they did to all the people. And now you're saying the government can do no wrong, despite the fact that they are now criminalizing what heretofore has never been criminalized, constitutional political opinion, and First Amendment protected free speech. And you guys are just swallowing a hook, line, and sinker because you hate Donald Trump so much. You ought to know better.
Okay, Sarge. Now let me explain. Okay, Sarge, it's not that we hate Donald Trump, Sarge. What it is that the dump, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear, okay, you know, he got up there and represented it what he had stated along, which is racism, white supremacy. I'm not mad at it. Now, the ones who I do get mad at, the ones that come with this all-inclusive agenda, okay, and then go up there and do the exact opposite of what they say. But the dump, as in human shit, okay, is just doing the shit that he said he was going to do and made a mess of it. Now, get to mind, too, is that the panties... the governor of Florida, I'm saying that he wears women's underwear, so I'm calling him the panties, okay? There's an old saying where I come from, Sarge, South Central LA, never apologize for how you honestly feel. Now, these individuals are corrupt. These individuals are dangerous, but at least that they are stating of how they honestly feel. Now, here's the sad part, Sarge. The two women down here in Georgia who were certifying, you know, the ballots, you know, after the election selection or whatever.
Yep.
You know,
Ruby Moss and Shay Freeman.
Yeah,
Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss. Yeah,
and then, you know, they've been threatening. They say they don't want to have nothing to do with politics again. And then also, too, the judge at the federal level, from what I understand, you know, looking at the media, is that they even went on and threatened a judge. Judge, if I'm saying her name correctly, Judge Chetlin, I believe, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. So Also, too, I wish the judge the best. I hope she goes on and administrates some justice where it belongs. Now, the dump, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear, is trying to get his trial started in 2026. Am I correct on that there, Brother Che?
Yeah, he can push it back.
Yeah, he's trying to push his trial dates back to 2026. Now, my question is,
you do realize there is no way there's going to be a trial with 18 defendants, all of whom are going to have separate counsels, all of whom are going to be making separate motions for either severance or who knows what. There's no way possible they're going to reconcile that. They're going to go through jury devoir and everything else they got to do in this amount of time. It's not possible. It can't happen.
Correct.
It never has in a RICO case.
Yeah, logistically,
it cannot happen.
I agree with you, Sarge. You know what I'm saying? And I am glad they're trying that bastard under the RICO Act. You know what I'm saying? It's because
well,
that's
why when you're acting like it's something nefarious here, this dumb woman down there with a law degree, this idiot, I've read her indictment. It's 98 pages. I done read the damn thing. There is no way this thing is going to be tried with all these defendants in one case. This ignoramus is going to have to sever this thing to even have a hope of getting it in trial in the better time frame she wants. I read the indictment, Shabaka. I read it twice now.
Okay, Sarge, you're a very well-read man, and I give you that there, Sarge, and you pretty much are echoing what our position on it is as well, too, is that, they're going to play hardball, softball, crooked ball, tennis ball, basketball, you know what I'm saying?
It's what lawyers do, man. It doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah, you see? And then, too, also, too, Sarge, the sad part about it is this. As you know, Sarge, all the people who went out there, man, from Alabama to Mississippi to Georgia to the Carolinas, Louisiana, Southern California, Chicago, New York, Cleveland, Ohio, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, they went and got knocked in the head, man, for voting rights and exercising their constitutional right to vote. Okay, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice too, Sarge. You see the disrespect that is to them.
Yes, Shabaka. But look, would you please, I implore you, set aside your antipathy for Donald Trump and look at the merits of this legally. This is the most grotesque distortion of the criminal justice system I have ever seen in my entire life, and I'm including the atrocities of Connor and Delpro. This thing is grotesque beyond belief.
Oh, yeah, well, Connor and Delpro.
Do we really want to set this kind of precedent?
Okay, well, Sarge, only thing I can say about that is this, man. It is a damn mess. It really is. And then on top of
it's
it, too.
It's awful. I don't care. I wouldn't treat the worst leftist that I despise the philosophies of being treated in this manner for their First Amendment right to challenge an election. Doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong.
Okay.
By the way, I do my research, brother. And the very thing which is the core of Bonnie Willis's case against Donald Trump, which is that he did not have a valid belief that the election in Georgia was stolen from him. I have got information from the Georgia recount and the so-called audits they did, where they found votes in Cobb County, they found votes in Clayton County, they found thousands of votes in Chandler County, three counties at least, where there were 8,000 votes just found. So in other words, when Donald Trump asked them to find votes, their audit found votes that were not properly counted, and they said it was the failure of election officials to do their job properly.
Wow.
They
Man, you don't know the half of it with this because the mainstream media doesn't talk about it. I'm talking about their record. I'm not talking about my opinion.
Okay.
Okay. Shabaka, good job.
Okay. Just wait till all this comes out, man. Just wait till all this comes out at trial. Because remember, he's got subpoena power. So does everybody. They're going to have subpoena power. I believe the reason they put this judge, Tanya Chutkan, who's already made rulings adverse against Donald Trump, she waived his executive privilege, which is what you don't do, because the president has to be able to speak in confidence to his closest advisors. That's why they have executive privilege. She waived his right to an attorney. Attorney-client privilege under the fraud crime exception to waiving attorney-client privilege. She sentenced January 6th defendants to higher prison sentence than the prosecution recommended in every single instance. Not one did she go down. She went up over what the government recommended. Not only that, she worked for the same law firm that Hunter Biden worked for with Burisma. This woman, and then they tell us, and wait a minute, and I got a bridge over Manhattan I'm ready to sell you. This woman was randomly selected to oversee the trial. I got a bridge in Manhattan that will save you $24 if you believe that shit. The reason they put her on this trial was to the maximum extent she is capable of doing is derailing Donald Trump's legitimate defense to raise an affirmative defense that based on the evidence that he had a reasonable belief the election in Georgia was stolen from him, and he's going to be able to marshal an abundance of evidence to support that contention. Trust me, I have looked it up myself. I'm talking about Georgia's official records. And why did the January 6th committee destroy 1.5 terabytes of data they collected purporting to show that Donald Trump was all but guilty of an insurrection? Because they know damn well it exonerates him. It is exculpatory. Sorry.
Okay.
This thing stinks, man. This thing stinks worse than any Donald Trump shit you could possibly imagine. And I'm just getting started.
Okay, Sarge, all right.
Just
hey,
as a matter of
swinging.
Law.
What,
just
Jordan
as
Jr.?
A matter of law.
Okay, all righty, okay. All right, now, Sarge, now, the sad part about it is, okay, is that the hypocrisy
Hold on,
of Donald Trump.
Sarge, do you think Trump is going to serve a day in jail?
I don't care if he is or not. This thing's a kangaroo court. It's right under the Third Reich and Roland Freisler. I don't care if he serves jail or not. There is no reason it's supposed to break. 5 times in American history, similar things to this has happened, and nobody ever got indicted. In 1804, during the Jefferson election. In 1823. In 1876, most famously. In 1960 in Hawaii. And in 2000, Bush versus Gore. Nobody ever got indicted for similar things before, ever. Not until Donald Trump. This thing stinks. You ought to be outraged by this just because of what the government is doing. The government is the biggest threat to your liberty there is right now. The government. Particularly this hideous Biden federal government.
Okay, Sarge. Okay. Well, as you look at the 10-point program of the Black Panther Party, Sarge, it sits up there and says, and the part of the U.S. Constitution is not one of the amendments. I think it's one of the articles, and correct me wrong, that states that when the government goes whack, is that the people have a right
That's
to change the government.
That's not in the Constitution. That's in the Declaration.
Yeah. Okay. I will read
to you the relevant part of the Constitution that says that. Because people always get that mixed up. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, that is to institute the rights among men deriving their just powers from the center of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. There you go. So that is a part of the Declaration. That's not part of the Constitution. It is part of the philosophical intent of the revolution.
Okay, but the key words, Okay, but Sarge, but the key words that I'm looking for that's right in there, okay, that says not only do the people have a right to change the government when it happens like that, they have a duty to do it. Now, as you know, Sarge, there was a certain crew in Oakland, California that tried to do that, and they were the victims of COINTELPRO.
This is why I don't understand why you're not, this is why I don't understand why you're not opposing this, just on principle. Because you do have a point when you make that point.
Yeah, Sarge. It's been whack. Even back in the days when Tricky Dick was saying,
so we're supposed to do more whack? Let's just add the biggest whack of all. A man who represents literally the votes of at least 75 million Americans.
Okay.
Think about that for a minute. 75 million Americans, probably more because they stole it. I know they stole this election of Donald Trump. I know it. I've seen more than enough evidence to believe that that's what they did. And none of it was adjudicated because they could. All these courts would say you don't have standing to get in the court. In fact, you do realize that the January 6th so-called right, which I'm now beginning to believe, was instituted by someone either in a Democrat Party or somebody who wanted to short-circuit the previously stated objections by 147 members of Congress to object to the election in accordance with the Electoral Count Act of 1877. Before the January 6th, they made clearly, we intend to object this election formally on the floor and ask for a House vote to have certain states send their electoral votes back to the states for reconsideration. They were going to do this. What happened was when the riot occurred, when that's what it was a riot, Nancy Pelosi, when they reconvened after they had to break up the session, when they reconvened, Nancy Pelosi was then able to invoke emergency rules, which set aside all of the procedural requirements and required them to vote up or down, yes or no, on sort of. So many of those legislators at that point were intimidated. Oh, you can't now validate this riot, can you? You got to just vote yes or no on a certification. And that's what they did. Now, even though the vote would have failed on the floor, it would have failed in a floor vote, I am sure, it would have allowed automatic standing in any appeal before the Supreme Court. Supreme Court cannot say we can't hear this because you don't have standing. And that's what happened as a result of January 6th. I now believe it was done by the Democrats. They turned down Donald Trump's offer of 10,000 federal and National Guard troops to guard the Capitol. Who in the hell does the insurrection where he's going to give you the troops that would prevent the insurrection? The mayor of D.C., Nancy Pelosi, the sergeant of arms of the House of Representatives, the sergeant of arms of the Senate, in writing, turned down the offer of the federal troops. Don't you see this is probably the biggest conspiracy in the history of American government and politics?
Okay. All righty. Okay, Sarge, you know, you sound like you did your research. You see what I'm saying?
I always do. I don't make things up.
Okay, Sarge, that's great. That's beautiful. But once again, as we had advocated here on this platform for the last 6 years, the more reason for black people to become self-sufficient. Dr. Claude Anderson had said this here, Brother Chan, I believe this was about 10 years ago, is going to be everybody against us. It's because ever since that we were brought here, okay, you know, through the plantations of Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Georgia, we have always been looked at three-fifths of a human being or as subhuman, okay? And so, therefore, when you look at these guys like Uncle Tim Scott, say that again.
We have a caller.
Okay, put the caller on.
790, what's your name, where you come from? Go ahead, Colin.
Hey, what's happening?
What's your name?
Boy, this is DJ Fresh, full effect, man. I'm right here with you.
Appreciate you calling in. We're talking about the current political situation for black voters, and we got on a tangent about Trump and all the charges.
Okay. That's what's up. Yeah, man. You know, I'm just like kind of jumping in right now. I guess it started, what you guys started at 8 o'clock this morning, you know, so I'm kind of catching up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. I'm trying to bring it up to speed, but that's what we've been discussing. We got our call executive producer, Shabaka Sankoria. Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, been around for 7 years. Their 50th anniversary of the Black Panther Party. And we got Sarge, the Black Police.
And by the way, Bonnie Willis is the daughter of a Black Panther and a Black. You would think she should know better, but maybe she learned a lesson at the feet of those who are Black Panthers.
Also, myself and Lady Che, welcome, brother. So, what do you have to contribute to the conversation?
Well, you know, one thing I just wanted to add, you know, and I've been talking with you, Paris, about this for a while, you know, and this is just a normal structure. I'm hip hop, right? I'm from Bronx, New York. Okay, I was born, you know, in Bronx, New York, where hip hop was created. Okay, makes me thoroughbred hip hop.
Riggy, I got a question for you. What's your thoughts on this whole
Hip hop
and other?
Well, I'm from Bronx, New York.
Hip hop.
And the way we set it up in New York was that, you know, the Black Panthers. This is where, you know, hip hop started to take the civil rights movement. You know, we needed protection. And we went to our brothers. We went to it's a security. Look, I'm going to compare it to the white people. The Black Panthers and hip-hop, all right, they needed security, right?
Yes.
They needed security. In New York City, this is the way we set it up. We went, and there's two types of Muslim people, okay? And look, I'm comparing this. How we set it up, like KKK. Like, if you want to look at if the KKK wants to get stupid, right, we're going to go to our security. And look, let me tell you something. Look, there's two types of Muslims out there. There's two types, okay? There's the Muslims that come from the Middle East. And then there's the USA Muslim, Malcolm X Muslim, okay? And let me tell you something. Hey, this is an offspring of the Black Panthers, you know. This is a party, okay? And then this is so big. This Malcolm X Muslim crew is so huge. They named themselves the Nation of Islam.
We just lost Ansar.
They're
Al
so
Muhammad.
Big. So if the KKK wants to get stupid, hip hop calls on security, you know? It's that simple.
DJ Wiggy, we just lost one of our security, Ansar, the brother used to take all the pictures at the Black events in Denver. He just passed away.
Oh man, you talking about the photographer?
Yeah.
You talking about the photographer with Brother Jeff, right?
Yeah.
Ansar is the number one photographer, right hand man. Ansar that just passed away is the number one photographer, right hand man to Brother Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay. Brother Jeff is the publicist for Five Points, but Ansar, who just passed away, is the published photographer for Brother Jeff.
Yeah, but he was taking pictures for Brother Jeff.
That's like Brother Jeff's best friend.
Yeah, he did a visual at the Cultural Center on Monday, this past Monday.
I'm so sad. He's a gentle soul. He's always kicked knowledge to me. Hands on. Every time I sat down with that brother, he would split the head with me.
Yeah.
He split the head with me, man. You know, sit down like real men. You know, we would talk.
He was a good brother.
He took great pictures. I wish, I don't know. He always was telling me, he always told me, he said, I'm going to get you in a picture with this guy because you guys are hip-hop. He was like that.
Yeah.
That's how Enzo would always approach me. That's how he always approached me. He come to me. He said, hey, we're going to take a picture together.
Take that picture of me. You,
and it don't matter what it was. He would always say that to me. He said, I want you over here because this is hip-hop.
Biggie.
Just that simple. And you know what? You know what? I didn't doubt what he was saying. I didn't doubt what he knew. I didn't doubt his education. I didn't doubt nothing about that man.
Right.
I just listened. I just fall in line with what he told me to do. I didn't have to, you know what I mean? My conscience wasn't attached to my body. When Ezra talked to me, you listen.
Yep.
And you do what you're supposed to do. That's how he is.
Yeah, he was F-O-I-N-O-I to the fullest. He looked out for black people, black children, black men and women. He looked out for us. He was a photographer, but he was security as well, and he made sure that we had a safe space when we were around him. He was a good dude, man. He's definitely gonna be missed. And I was at the vigil; about 100 people showed up to the cultural center. 100 black people. I was like, damn, I ain't seen the East Side like this since I was a kid. It was that many black attendants, and I knew majority of the black people in the room. Oh, Lady Trey's back. Go ahead, Lady Trey.
Says Brother Ezra, you know, I have my own little relationship with him. You know, I'm one of the type of people that I've been roaming around the East Side in Five Points my entire little life, okay? Since the time I was like 12 years old. So, you know, I've been kind of just moving around quietly, don't make no waves. You know, people see me, they see me, they know me, they know me. And I remember that man is always, first of all, he ain't never had to pose me or maneuver me anywhere, like, when he see me. But he always used to see that, you know, there's some in our community that really mistreat me. And he would say, he would come tap me on the shoulder, ready to take pictures, you know, I'm in and out of some pictures, you know. And last time I seen him, like, for example, I seen him right after Kwanzaa, but during Kwanzaa, he was giving Jesse a hard time telling him to get out of the way so he could take pictures of me with my drum, right? he always just tapped me on the shoulder and whisper, it's going to be all right. You're going to be all right. You know, because he would see how people treat me, you know. There's a lot of negative treatment that goes on around me, and it's always been like that. So, you know, he would just give the reassurance, you know, that it was gonna be all right, that I shouldn't take it. So personal. But as far as Brother Jeff is concerned, as what he did yesterday, I have no respect for the man. Like, what he did really is completely disrespectful.
Right.
What he's been doing to me and Jesse, or to Jesse and I, is disrespectful. And, you know, like, here, you know, I have to say that I talk the most negatively because none of that cooning and go along to get along stuff is going to be allowed in any of our platforms. We are the only ones that keep it 100% honest around on these three platforms that we run. You know, we go over there, you're surrounded by confusion and coonery. And that's just wrong. That's just wrong. What he did yesterday is, like, I'm running for city council in Aurora. Same thing he did with Jesse. He says he was blatantly disrespectful yesterday. Now I understand. Now I see how Jesse was feeling about our community. He turned around and turned a whole community that we came up in, we grew up in, that we walk the streets in religiously, daily, on an average fucking, what, once a week nowadays? I would say they do it for our own community. You turn our own community against us. How does a black man do that to another black man? How does he do that to
he's probably been,
a
he was
female.
Probably paid to do that. He was probably paid to do that, ladies.
You know, and they call yourself black
that's
black
where
the
sellouts come in at. That's where the sellouts come
black,
in at.
Black
yeah, and saying that there's happened during, you know, with Marcus Garvey, from the time of Marcus Garvey to the Civil Rights Movement with Dr. King, you know, even with the Black Empowerment era, you know, they always will go to these sellouts. You see what I'm saying? And it's just a mindset, you know, just like Malcolm had said it best, you know, in his lecture, boss, we sit. You see, that's the cycle. That's the first link of the chain on a brain that must be broken right there, is that selloutism. You see what I mean? It's because
yeah,
you don't see other
you
groups
doing it. You're
going to
be a sellout in your community, but have the audacity to call other people sellouts and tell them that they're whining and crying about their feelings. Well, you know what, man? As a black man, as an elder, you should never do the things that you do to young black men coming up in the world with a little ambition. It takes a lot to run for office. When you sit, it's easier to call somebody bad names when you sit on the sidelines and you poke your fingers at them, and you turn your nose up, and then that bourgeoisie attitude is fucking whack, especially when you pay,
right.
You're paid by the white man, and you're comfortable in the land of fucking racism, white supremacy, for the seven donations, because you are for the people, your black skin does not no longer take precedence over off-brand priorities and principle. You know, things like that. And that right there, it leads us to say, man, we can't lead you to the water, but what one of us wants, we can't offer you tangibles. We can't offer you nothing because all you did was turn a whole, what little is left of our black community in a white, racist,
yes,
sundown
absolutely.
State. You turn it against us over what? When the people you turn against, the people you do that to are the ones that serve the elders, serve the unhoused, serve anybody who has any vulnerable need, right? You turn the people against those people, the people of actual service. You are no longer respectable. How do you get to be a respected member of the community when you badmouth the people of service?
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
what
then
I
too,
to
and as a
there.
Okay, but also too, okay, but also too, Lady Chan. I'm sure the brother from New York would agree with me. Is that you see, like Harlem, the South and West Side of Chicago, and briefly there in South Central Los Angeles too, when you had black commerce going on, particularly like with the Black Wall Street. Okay, all right, is that they did everything to derail that? You see what I mean? And the cold part about it is that the current generation, and when I say generation currently, I'm talking about those from the ages of 18 to 35, okay, is that they made it a point to dummy that down in this miseducational system. You see what I mean? And then, of course, too, just like how they took all the funding, you know, that they're trying to take away from the HBCUs, and just like, and I forgot the name of that stinking-ass politician who was so glad that affirmative action got killed, but she's going to come up there with a bunch of double speech using Martin Luther King's words, oh, well, judge the person by the content of their character, not the color of the skin, but the whole time that we've been here in America, we've been judged by the color of our skin. Look at this racist-ass institution called Hollywood, okay? Like with the Screenwriters Guild strike that's going on, a whole lot of them are going to lose their jobs. Artificial intelligence is going to take over, you see what I'm saying? And they're getting ready to kick them dudes down there to Skid Row, you see what I mean? But nobody comes up there to address that issue. Nobody comes up there with no cohesiveness of black economics and black businesses. Well, we have to build up our own infrastructures. Well, we got to have our own infrastructures of industry, agriculture, and education. Not miseducation, but education. You see what I mean? And then, yes, sir.
It's Biden gonna give the Californians the same treatment that George Bush gave New Orleans after Katrina, because Hillary tore California up.
Yeah, that's about right. It's because all the politicians out of California, both at the local level and the federal level, man, they're all whack. You see what I mean? They're all whack, you see, because, you know, they're all Hollywood doing all this stuff for show. You see what I mean?
Like,
and then the cool part about it is, and then also, too, is that, as you know, like with the cases of Biddy Mason and what have you, you know, all the redlining that they did out there in Compton and whatnot, Manhattan Beach, and what have you. But what it is that this educational system is looking at black folks being progressive as long as that they are countermanding their own progress. You see what I mean? And this is the fervor that's been going across the country. And then just like the panties down there in Florida, and when I say the panties, I am saying that he wear women's underwear, okay? He's out of his rabbit-ass mind. I mean, look at the illogic of the garbage that he's talking about, saying that slavery was a benefit to black people. It taught us skills.
Now, come on now, Shabak. He didn't say that. He didn't. If you said that, I would have condemned him. I would have condemned him in a heartbeat, but he did not say that. The curriculum did not say that. I watched a distinguished black scholar who set up that program explain in great detail what was intended and what was in the curriculum. He corrected and checked Kamala Harris like nobody I've ever seen. That is simply not true, Shabaka. They've got you brainwashed on this one. That's not what that program said. It is not.
Well, Sarge, I'm going to tell you something. I have very, very low regard, you know, for the Madam Vice President, looking at her track record in California, because she was the district attorney of San Francisco, which is his own city and county. And then when the San Francisco Police Department murdered Mario Woods, she didn't intervene. And then when she became the attorney general, she didn't intervene in the case of in the murder of Ezell Ford by the LAPD and various countless other murders by law enforcement agencies from Long Beach to Paramount, California to Stockton. And then not to mention the fact the man who was who had no legs that they shot and killed in Huntington Park. The dude is in a wheelchair, man. The man ain't got no legs. And they're going to kill him, man. That's a human rights violation.
Well,
you see what I'm saying? And then when her lousy ass became the U.S. Senator from there, which she was handpicked for by Gruesome Newsom, okay, and then she launched her presidential campaign, and then the congresswoman from Hawaii made her look like a babbling idiot in a vice presidential debate, you see, and so then Biden, you know, selected her as the vice president, where she presides over the U.S. Senate, you know what I mean? And California politics, Sarge, as a whole, is a joke, man. Actually, man, you know, it's a comedy. It really
is.
Well,
I'm not even going to argue with you about that. I think it's the most dysfunctional, dystopian state in the union. It's outside of maybe New York. And you notice these politicians like Eric Adams, the swagger man
right.
with the plan, and Let's Go Brandon Johnson down there in Chicago, are ignoring the wishes of their black constituency as they house with their tax money illegal aliens
right.
who are led in
right.
there by the insane border policies of this demented president we got, and they're completely
right.
ignoring their constituencies to cater to these globalist impulses from these utterly corrupt people who hate the United States and hate most of its people.
Okay, Sarge, you're getting no argument from me. And now I'm going to tell you something, Sarge. Now, this is what I'm digging of what's going on in Niger. Okay, folks, yeah, we got a comment on that one. Oh, France. Boy, are they really pissed off at Niger. Because Nigeria said, hey, France, check this out. We ain't giving you nothing no more, man. We ain't giving you no more raw materials. A lot of the other African nations are taking heed following Nigeria's example. You know what I'm saying? No, because, see, without the resources out of Africa, or as they say in the movie Black Panther, of vibranium, which is fucking silicon, you know, this day. Hey, you got the Europeans by the balls. Squeeze them. You see what I'm saying? Squeeze them. Upgrade the continent of Africa. You know what
well,
I mean? You know, from when they had that Savage Leopold and, you know, all those Europeans, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, Sarge, I can go on and on and on and on and on with it.
Yeah,
you see
King
what I mean?
Leopold. I know you're going
to
bring up King Leopold in a second.
Oh, yeah, yeah, later for Leopold. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Later for Leopold.
Let me bring up something about Niger and Africa, because this is something I think is very significant. It impinges directly on what the United States is contributing to the chaos over there. Now, I know you don't like Matt Gaetz. I'm accepting again you don't like Matt Gaetz, but you can say what you want about Matt Gaetz. He's smart as he's a smart cookie, and he's sharp as a tack. And he had this 4-star Marine general who was a theater commander of the AFRICOM Theater Command, a black Marine. 4-star general, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's got him grilling him on the policies and the fact that the United States is training many African military leaders in the United States. And it turns out that many of them are going back to Africa and they're engineering coups all across Africa. And Matt Gaetz was asking him, how many of our people that we've trained have been engineering the coups like the one that we just had in Niger, the guy
mm-hmm.
that... The leader, Mahmoud, I can't pronounce it, Bazoum, this guy
yeah.
was trained in the United States by Americans, and this general goes blathering on. I cannot believe a 4-star general was this badly prepared or looked like a blithering idiot as he tried to answer this congressman's question. He asked him the question, and he did not seem to be blathered on about our core values, and we instill our core values, and just a lot of boilerplate nonsense. And Matt Gaetz trying to get him to be specific. Would you please tell us, is this consistent with our core values that we've got 125 people we've trained that are involved in coups in Africa? Is this part of our core values to teach us? This general looked like a dunce. Man, that guy ought to be busted in rank and cashiered out of the military.
Okay, bust him down
to
private
E1. You ought to go on the web and get it. Go on the web and go on YouTube and get Matt Gaetz asking pointed questions about the United States' role in training military leaders in Africa and the number of them that are involved in coups in Africa.
Okay.
Well,
what do you
okay.
think ECOWAS is, Sarge? What do you think ECOWAS is? What do you think AFRICOM is? Like, they
right.
get in, set up puppet regimes just so they can control
yeah,
the
well, yeah. yeah, well, we can't get accountability when you got congressional leaders asking for specifics, numbers, the amount of money that was spent, when these people were trained, where they went back, questions about the curriculum and the course of instruction and everything else. They can't get an answer from a 4-star bloody general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something's
okay.
rotten in Denmark. You better believe it. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand why you guys are so ready to accept these half-baked indictments against Donald Trump, who represent an existential threat to the very thing that you're condemning. Donald Trump actually represents an existential threat to the deep state. And that's why they're so eager to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm. But sorry.
You act like we are against Trump. Or something. We don't give a fuck about Trump or Biden. We
pretty much.
All I'm asking you to do is not. You don't have to support Trump. I don't require you to support Trump. I'm asking you to examine this trumped up nonsense against them. They are waging
okay.
lawfare in a similar manner to the way they wage lawfare against the Black Panthers and other people.
We've been calling for this for years, Sarge. Now we're everything that we've been calling for years now is coming to fruition. Now that Trump is being affected by COINTELPRO and all that, oh, the FBI has to go now. Oh, we have to watch the FBI. But as y'all so eloquently stated previous, they've been doing this to black liberation movements all around the world. So
pretty much.
When are we going to say enough
yeah.
is enough for that?
And then also, too,
overthrow
and then also, too, Sarge, what they did to Martin Luther King.
Well, yeah, well, there are plenty of reasons to oppose Donald Trump. This is not one of them. What they are doing with this is not one reason to oppose them or ignore this. And if they can do this to Donald Trump, you know they can do it to anybody.
Okay, tell you what.
He was the president of the United States. He's a billionaire. He's got friends all over the world. Millions of people admire him and like him. And they, look what they're doing to him.
Yeah.
This is
okay,
as dangerous as it can get.
Sarge.
The Democrats are desperate. They're in desperation mode. They're trying to throw everything at the wall, hoping something sticks.
Thank you, right?
You can stick a fork in them. They're done. The polls.
Yeah, I can understand your opposition to Donald Trump. I'm just saying, please don't jump on this bandwagon against him.
Okay, but Sarge. Okay, since we're in overtime, Sarge, and we want to end our show properly. Now, let me ask you this here, soldier. If we set up next Friday for Sarge, the guest host, will you be reporting for duty,
soldier? Oh, I ain't going nowhere near Southwest Georgia. I ain't going nowhere near Columbus. I ain't going out in the sticks.
Okay.
I'll be where I got plenty of reception, where I got my desktop computer, where I got my Skype, where I got my cell phone, where I got any ways of communication, one way or the other. Don't worry. I get plenty of bars where I'm at now.
Okay, Sarge. Now, I'm going to run it past, you know, our crew here. Okay, Brother Che, do you concur or should we make a show, reserve a show for Sarge next week again, although he went AWOL on us last time, but he was out in the middle of nowhere with no communications. So we're going to give Sarge the benefit of the doubt because, you know, they really are screwing, you know, with our telecommunications, Sarge. We go through the same crap as well, too. But I just have to run it past the committee here. Okay, Brother Jay,
well,
you
sticks,
concur?
Man. I don't think it was a plot. I was out in the sticks. I mean, it really is rural out where I was at. They barely got electric telephone lines up.
Yes, Shabaka, I just need Sarge to let me know what he want to talk about so I can type it up.
Okay. All right, Sarge, there you go, man. You're going to be the guest host. What's your subject, Sarge?
I think we're in depth examine the issues against Donald Trump in depth and all the accompanying issues of race. And wait a minute. And the accompanying issues of the racial dimensions that impinge upon people's attitudes toward it.
Okay. All righty. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Sarge. I saw not a TikTok video, but I saw this dude on Tweety Bird, okay, because I call Twitter Tweety Bird or Stinky Bird because, you know, when they say that you have musk, that simply means you stink, okay? So that's why I'm calling it Stinky Bird now. Although they flipped it to X, okay?
Musk is also a perfume. It's also a perfume, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It is. And there was this one brain-dead individual.
I bet you've been with some ladies who wore it and you loved the way it smelled, and it was a musk.
Okay. All right. Okay, Sarge, you'll get no argument from me on that. Everything you stated on that is correct. You know, it was a cologne perfume as well, too. Okay. But, however, you know, I do not recognize Elon Musk as no African-American. That bastard is a descendant of Boers. Okay.
Can you call him a South African-American then? Would that be okay?
Now, why don't they just go on and call him what he is, a damn
poor
man,
a Dutchman. He's a South African-American. That literally is what he is. He's from the nation of South Africa. When the ANC took it over, they didn't change the name. It's still South Africa, Republic of South Africa. So he literally is a South African-American. There's no way you're going to get around that.
Yes, sir, it is. I'm going to get around that. Now, here it is, getting back to Ali circling with the jab, okay? He is a descendant of the Dutch. He is a Boer. He is not an
African.
He's a
South African. Literally.
Okay.
He's not
an African, Sarge. Well, tell you what, Sarge, we'll argue that point
American citizen now. He's an American citizen now, so it's quite properly appropriate to call him a citizen of the United States. But his origin is South African. That is a nation that is run by black people now. They changed the name of South Africa. They have not changed its name. It is still the nation of South Africa where he was born.
The real name of South Africa, Sarge, is Azania. That is the real name of it.
Well, you better talk to the ANC about changing it because right now they're sticking with South Africa.
Republican. Well, I will refer to it as Azania. Okay, that is the ancient name of it. You know, listen to Miriam McKeever.
Maybe I gotta go talk to Julius Malemy.
No, hold on, sir.
Go talk to Julius
Malemy
about that, because all he wants to do is kill the Boers. He don't want to change the name of South Africa right now. You know, the Economic Freedom Fighting Party.
Oh, you talking about Julius Malema?
Malema, yeah. He don't want to change the name of South Africa right now. All he wants to do is kill the Boers, kill the white farmers.
Well, Sarge, well, just like what Brother Robert Mugabe did in Zimbabwe when he went and seized the land, you know, from them white farmers. And so the white farmers you're taking our land. But hold on, Sarge. Mugabe said, well, you know, you white folks, you know, talking about you want land, then go back to Europe and get it. Get your stinking asses up out of here.
And consequently, 100,000% rate of inflation. Utter misery for the country.
Okay, but by Europeans,
it didn't work out very well.
Arch. Say, when you put people
who are unqualified to run a farm, you don't get very much produce. That's what he did. He rewarded people because he's corrupt. He's corrupted and rewarded people who were not qualified to do the jobs with farmland that they couldn't manage properly. And it went south.
Okay, Sarge, let me ask you a question, Sarge. Okay. If I went on your property, went to your house, forced my way there, and put up a banner saying, you know, this is Shabaka land, man, you're going to be highly upset, as well as you should be. Okay? Because, and particularly if you're indigenous to that land. Them Boers, them Rhodesians, okay, ain't got shit coming just off the law of fairness.
Okay.
Okay, let them go back to Europe. Let them go back to Europe, Sarge.
Well, you could condemn the Rhodesians and the Rhodesians and Boers and the South Africans all you want, but there's still a law of consequences that will never not be in effect. And right now, some of the consequences are reversing some of the policies that, like Nelson Mandela, had an effect that led to South Africa being relatively stable up until the time of his death, have now been withdrawn, and they can't keep electricity on in South Africa 24 hours a day. It's just, righteous indignation you wish to muster, there's no getting around the present state of affairs in South Africa today.
Sarge, write it up when we have you as a guest host on next Friday. And we're going to go with our closing arguments because we don't want Blog Talk pulling the plug on us. And we thank everybody here, you know, for their input and what have you. Please copy and paste and share this episode so we can lift the shadow ban up off of us. It's because any time that you speak against the popular version of what is true, they're going to sit up there and they're going to shadow ban you and try to block you. So much for free speech. But however, fortunately, you know, we know better. We know what it is. As long as we're out here rapping about calling our women the B word and killing each other, then we're okay. But as soon as we talk about some cohesiveness amongst ourselves, not only here in the U.S., not only here in the U.S. and the Caribbean or the Western Hemisphere, but throughout the whole diaspora, then all of a sudden we're bad guys. But yet, though, we're supposed to sit up there and have some sympathy for some damn Ukrainians. You know what I mean? And that there is my closing comment. Okay, Brother Che, you know, lead us out if you would, sir. Brother Che.
Yo.
Oh, yeah, okay. Your closing comment, brother, and thank you for calling in.
Okay, thank you so much, man. So been so great. So this is it. Right on. Have a wonderful day.
All right, and thank you, sir, for calling in, and thank you so very, very much. And please check with us every Tuesday, man. You know, definitely follow us on Tweety Bird at Shabaka, capital EXP. That there's S as in Sam, H as in Hammer, A as in Adam, B as in Black, A as in Adam, K as in King, A as in Adam, capital EXP on Stinky Bird. Okay, man. Ladies and gentlemen, and keep those cards and letters coming. Keep the controversy coming. And also, too, we extend our hand and our platform to our haters as well, too. This is Shabaka Sankore from Las Vegas, Nevada, coming to you straight from Sin City.
All right, thank y'all for tuning in. We're going to go out with Shotgun, because it's the Wild Wild West. And
yes, sir. And that record there is dedicated to the memory of Dr. Huey Percy Newton, who was ensuring our safety in the city of Oakland from race soldiers.